Welcome to the Let's Talk BS podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Sophia. And we're coming to you live
from the 757,
where we discuss real estate, culture,
and current events.
Good morning, Sophia.
Hey, good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. A little tired.
I heard that. How's everything been for you?
Oh, this has been a crazy week.
Okay.
Yes, I'm tired.
What's going on? Why you're tired? You want to share that with the folks? Or what's up?
I had my youngest child jump out the couch, bust his head wide open, and we had to go to the hospital and get stitches.
Oh, wow.
I know, right?
Okay. Is he okay?
He alive.
What's that saying? Everybody say, well, is you dead? Is you dead? Like, you know, that's it. Like, if you're driving fast, like a person you in the car with somebody.
Did I die?
Yeah, did you die?
Did I die?
So I guess he's alive.
Then. He's alive.
That's good.
I'm still alive. You know that?
Oh, yeah, I do.
I'm still alive.
Yeah.
I can tell you this. He ain't learned that lesson yet because he's still doing the crazy stuff.
Oh, for real?
What?
Dang. How many stitches did he get?
He got 6 stitches, but then they had to like suture like the end parts.
Okay.
So I guess the way she explained it, the 2 corner pieces to make sure the meat wasn't like hanging, they did those, but it wasn't hanging.
Was that bad?
I mean,
dang. Was it to the white meat? Was the white meat showing?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, you could see in the hole.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
But, so yeah, it was definitely different. But, so I guess a total of 8 sutures, but it was 6 full, like, looped, tied, you know.
Yeah.
But then 2 in, yeah, it was weird. But, yeah, it was crazy. Going into the emergency room and Chesapeake General, we went there. I absolutely hate that emergency room, but it was the closest one to me, given that the amount of blood that was coming out. It was kind of like, I felt like I was on Grey's Anatomy, and I came in there, like, running through
the emergency room. Yeah. Like, yo,
and it's
somebody
blood
help me. Yeah.
All on him, all on me.
Yeah.
So that was the closest. And then I went to go clean my car out yesterday to make sure there was no, like, blood and stuff still lingering. But, yeah. It was blood all on my cabinets, all over the floor.
So are you able to get that stuff out, like on the floor and stuff? Like, mm-hmm. Was that carpet? It was on carpet or not carpet?
No, I have. What is it?
Laminate.
No, yeah. Vinyl.
Yeah, it's vinyl. Yeah, it's vinyl. Yeah. It's laminate. Well, yeah, I got you. Vinyl blanks. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was my week. So I am.
Dang.
I don't even feel like I've caught up on sleep yet, because then just a couple days prior to that, he fell off the bed. So I don't want him to like fall. So I'm sleeping like kind of weird just to make sure that he doesn't like tumble.
Yeah.
And fall and open that wound. That was one of the things that the doctor was like, you got to make sure. But he just, oh my gosh, boys are different.
Boys are different. Yeah. My son is like that too. I mean, he's all over the place. I'm surprised. I mean, well, he does. My son got his tooth is jacked up because he was jumping off the steps and doing stuff that he won't post to.
My oldest tooth is messed up. We actually went to the, it was funny because the day we were in the emergency room, that same day we had a dentist appointment.
Oh, wow.
So I literally went from the dentist appointment to I worked out, had lunch, came home with him, picked him up, came home. We wasn't at home for more than an hour, and I was back at the emergency room.
That's crazy.
I was like, I should have left your ass at school.
That's what I should have, right? Yeah, that's crazy. That's tough. What about, I guess, as far as outside of that, I mean, that is a lot. Anything else, work-wise?
Yesterday I took 2 over-the-phone applications back-to-back, so I'm here. I'm tired.
Yeah.
Trying to work through that.
Okay.
Just trying to, I got a lot of active people shopping. They just have to find something.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I would say, look.
Rates did well this week.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, we had a good week, man. You know, this past Wednesday and Thursday, Jerome Powell, you know, he stood in front of Congress, excuse me, and you know, answer some questions. He didn't really say much, so that really didn't move the market. But some of the other different information that came out as far as like the jobs report, you know, that information came out and had a positive impact in rates. And so we saw, I mean, I seen rates go down about a half a point, you know, with some different, you know, loan programs. Like I got a VA buyer, excuse me, who's looking to buy. And we were starting looking at rates earlier this week. And then now towards the end of this week, I mean, they gotten better by about a half a point. So, you know, we was able to get them locked in yesterday. So, yeah, we definitely had a good week, I would say, rate wise. I know I'm excited to see what happens. I know they have that next Fed meeting. I think it's is it next week or the week after? I can't remember. But I'm excited to see like what comes from that. I'm hoping that we can continue the momentum, you know, that we've had this week when it comes to, you know, rates getting better. I will say, I know you just mentioned as far as, you know, you took a couple applications. You have people shopping. Like I got quite a bit of people shopping right now as well. And it's not pandemic time, but man, I mean, I got people. I can't remember. I mean, it's nobody's winning offers. Yeah. And I'm talking about my people are offering, mm-hmm. you know, they're offering list price, no closing yeah. costs. Like I was talking to one of my buddies earlier this week. I think it was on Monday. It was an agent. They put an offer on a house in Virginia Beach, and the house had, I think it was listed for like right at $400,000, like $399,900. And the buyer that that I have pre-approved, they put an offer in for $410,000, asked for no closing cost, and the agent said that they already had an offer for $450,000, no closing cost. They guarantee in $450,000. I was like, wow.
I had an agent so put like, in an offer wow, as well.
Like, yeah, I'm like, wow. Like, I mean, because we thought that their offer was strong.
Solid,
I mean, they
offered, yeah.
you know, 10 grand over list price, no closing costs. We said we can close quick. I called the listing agent, you know, try to, you know, explain that, you know, they've already been through underwriting, like pretty much putting our best foot forward in that situation. And it didn't matter. You have people offering well above the current list price. So, I mean, I don't know if we're full back into that, but I got probably like 10 buyers right now out here shopping and ain't none of them getting no contracts. Yeah. Everybody's looking for around that same type of thing for real.
Yeah.
I got mm-hmm. one buyer in Maryland who's looking for like a $600,000-$700,000 house, which is kind of equivalent to like a $400,000-$500,000 house down here. And I mean, we put an offer in on one house. It was right at $700,000. And the agent said it's between, she said it's highest and best. I spoke to the listing agent, called them, talked to them and everything, tried to do the same thing. And they end up accept the winning offer ended up being $737,000. Mm. So I'm like, man, like it's people out here, man, you know, shopping and buying houses. Like, I mean, it's getting real.
Yeah, I had someone actually make an offer, and when they made the offer, they actually went over the list price. Now I think they did ask for closing cost assistance, but the agent was like, well, she rebutted and said, I want an appraisal guarantee. Mm-hmm. And the buyer was like, no, I'm not doing that.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. So they already starting to,
mm-hmm.
like I said, those appraisal guarantees are starting to kind of, you know, be out there a little bit more frequently. So I'm really interested to see, I mean, especially with rates starting to come down, you know, hopefully even more than where they've been. Because they went up and went down. So they're not like, you know, in the fives or nothing like that yet. But, when rates are starting to come down, houses are still appreciating, people are offering more than asking price, like guarantees are starting to come back in. I mean, it's about to be a wild summer, you know?
Listen, you was talking about Jerome Powell. I had to look up the senator that like ran him down the other day. Her name is Elizabeth Warren. She's a senator, I think. She's like Minnesota or...
Yeah, she's like, hold on, let me look. That's the same person up there. Go ahead and say what she's about to say. My bad.
She is a savage. I don't know if you guys
savage.
I don't know if you guys ever watch when Jerome Powell speaks to Congress or when anybody speaks to Congress, but
yeah, Elizabeth Warren, she's like she did something with women's rights. Like she did something. I can't remember, but she's like a pillar when it comes to women's rights. So yeah, I can see her kind of going ham against
Massachusetts. Massachusetts.
Oh, well, you can't even say that word, can you?
No, so that's one of... No. But listen, if you know how when we watch, you know, social media and they always say terms like you got read or somebody reading you or somebody, you know, basically speaking down on you.
Yeah.
Miss Elizabeth Warren, Senator, Elizabeth Warren will read you up and down and leave you with no crumbs.
You said with no crumbs. Wow.
I was like, oh my gosh. Like,
yeah. She's feisty. I've seen her before a couple of times. I mean, I remember she was one of the ones that spearheaded the wealth tax, you know, kind of taxing, you know, the 5%, the 2%. And, you know, a lot of folks, you know, because she's a Democrat, so a lot of Republicans, you know, didn't really care for, you know, that.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah, she's feisty. I've seen her on TV plenty of times going by.
When
you said her name, it didn't register. But when I looked up her picture, I'm like, okay, yeah, I remember that face on TV.
Now. She is not playing, I tell you that. I was like, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, lady. Say what you say. Say your piece.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. I hear you on that one. Let me see. Something that I saw this week, this was kind of personal. It wasn't really like something on the news, but I got a person I used to work with. She's in the process of trying to sell a house. But she's trying to sell it privately first before she tries to list the house.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I was having a conversation with her and everything. And the house needs a little bit of work. Nothing crazy. Just some carpet, maybe some paint here and there. But we haven't had success trying to sell it. I've been trying to help her. I connected her with some investors, people that I know. And we had quite a few people look at the house. But a lot of most of the feedback is, you know, the price, you know, what she's trying to sell it for and all that. And so initially she told me like, hey, you know, let's go ahead and go to market with it. Because I told her like, you know, privately it's cool, but you know, when you go to market with it, put it on the MLS, it's just more.
It's going
to
reach more people.
Yeah, it's going to reach more people. Yeah. So therefore, I mean, you may get someone who wants to buy the house, maybe even at the price or close to the price that you're wanting to sell it for.
Mm-hmm.
But she's just reluctant to actually trying to avoid, you know, obviously the costs and things when it comes to both agents' fees and all that or whatever. And so now she's just like saying that she wants to hold off and not sell the house right now or whatever. And so I just wanted to bring back, and, you know, obviously she's African-American like myself, like Sophia. And I just wanted to kind of have a
quick, I'm not African-American. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, I was about to say, I thought you were. You know, maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe I don't know who I'm, you know, co-hosting this podcast with. I don't know. You know, but
you said that like it was new news, so yeah. I just had to say something.
Now, this is for my listeners. You know what I mean? Maybe somebody haven't really seen this yet. Maybe they just listen. You know?
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. So true. As far as like the situation where her man, I see it a lot in our community where, you know, we have a plan, right? We want to do something. We say, hey, this is my plan. I want to sell this house. I want to make this amount of money, and I want to use that money for X, Y, and Z. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we make that plan without really having any knowledge of the different variables that are involved to execute that plan. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, you know, with me having conversations with her getting, you know, feedback from the folks who looked at the house, you know, the real reality of the situation is she's probably not going to be able to sell that house for what she thought she could sell the house for, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now, instead of just accepting that and selling the house for a lesser amount and still being able to execute the plan, but maybe just kind of pivot and change things a little bit, maybe not have as much money or access to how much you thought you were going to have to, you know, go to that next step of what you were going to use the funds for, you know, sometimes we just like to shut down. Like, we just be like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to do it at all. When we ultimately know we need to do it, right? And we need to do it now, like time is of the essence. Like, and she kind of shares some personal things with me of why she needs to sell the house like ASAP.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, I just kind of wanted to share that. I didn't want to put anybody's name, too much business out there, but just like the general understanding of like, hey, I know sometimes we have plans, and then once we try to execute that plan, there's things that come up, there's adversity, there's, you know, hey, I can't go about it this way, but maybe I can do it this way. And because it's not our plan and how we came up with it, we just shut down and we don't want to do it no more. I just think that's something that we got to do better at. We got to learn how to pivot, learn how to like, okay, especially if we're not, you know, 100% experienced, we just making the plan based on what we want and not the information or the data that's available. You know, we need to learn how to do that, man. Like as a people, I really feel like that's important. What about you? Yeah. What you think, man?
I mean, self-sabotage is a real thing,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So absolutely. If you come up with a plan, you need to execute your plan, yep. So you can move on to the next plan.
Correct.
Right?
Because a lot of times that just holds you up. Like you're just now stuck. Like you can't, you know, you can't move on or continue or close that chapter or whatever it may be because you're just now stuck.
But I know it's a lot of people though that don't really do their research before they even get to the plan.
That's
so
true.
I mean, if you're doing the research and trying to figure out things, like this is a conversation that you have to have with self, like, hey, what if you make this plan, come with a backup.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to necessarily, like, you have to be ready to pivot. Yeah. And when you do pivot, have a backup plan to what that looks like. Absolutely. So, like, when she went the route of trying to sell it herself, and that didn't necessarily work the way she wanted to, she had to be okay with possibly putting it on market.
Correct.
That's something that you just have to kind of, like, self-consciously think about. Like, absolutely, okay, if this don't work, then at least I have the avenue of doing it this way. Absolutely. Now, if both things don't work, then okay, cool. Now you tried it and worked. It's okay with things sometimes not working out the way that you planned. Correct. But sounds like she knew that there was a possibility that this home had to be put on the market.
Correct.
Because we're just not in that time right now. We're getting close to that time where people are willing to buy the house as is in whatever condition at a higher price. She, now that I think about it, she might put the house on the market and people overbid on. You just never know.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, but again, that's not the way that she thought about going about it. So therefore, you just shut down. And that's what I'm saying. Like, this is something that I see a lot in our community, man. And people, you know, I mean, it's not just about selling a house. I mean, it's just the mentality of that, right? Just planning for something and not working out to how you planned it. And then you just shut down and you stay stuck instead of continuing moving forward, keep pushing forward and just pivoting and figuring out what's the best route with now, with the situation I'm in, what is the best exit in that situation? You know what I mean? So just wanted to share that.
Yeah.
But something I saw that was crazy too this past week. So if y'all know if you saw, is a whale washed up at the ocean front. That was huge too. Do you see that?
Yeah, I saw it. It was two. And one in either North or South Carolina. So three total. Yeah.
Okay.
And they were trying to figure out, like, you know, what's the cause of it. I think one of them were, or something in the past where the whale was hit by like a ship and it died and then it just kind of washed up. But then now they're doing a little bit more research because now it's like three.
Yeah.
And within, you know, the last week or two. Yeah. Yeah. So they're like, okay, well, is it the water? Mm-hmm. You know, is there a certain... Is there something else that's causing the whales to wash up the way they are? And then I've also, it made me think of the Bible.
What? Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm not going to go too deep into that, but if you know, you know.
I seen on, I think it was on Instagram, somebody sent it to me or something, man. But I saw like the picture of the whale, like on the sand, like I was like, wow, like it's crazy. Like it was really big. Like that would have, like, I mean, obviously, you know, that could happen because there's whales in the water, things happen, whatever. But it's just like still seeing huge, something like that. Yeah, that joint was huge. I was like, man, I was walking the strip. If I was like out there with my kids and I saw that, like, you know, being washed up to the shore, I'd have freaked out.
Yeah. Crazy,
you know what I mean?
So,
I thought that was crazy.
I went to last week? Atlantic Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was on the board, not on the boardwalk, but I was basically on the street right before the ocean.
Yeah.
And so I was walking to this venue called the Moxie, inside of the Moxie Hotel. And so there's like a restaurant for a networking event. And I also saw the pier from the individual who drove off the pier and went into the water.
Mm-hmm.
I had seen the pier before, but you know how sometimes when things happen, you've been there before, you've seen it before, but you never really like paid too close attention to it because it didn't really like, I'm not a person that's going to go and walk an old pier, period. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But this person drove on a pier and basically went into the ocean and committed suicide.
Did you see the video of that?
Yeah, I seen the video. But I was able to see in person. I was in the area of and it's like an ice cream little shop thing right there.
It's like
and
a
I was
bait and tackle shop, you know, you buy like stuff for fishing.
Yeah, it's like a little area.
Yeah.
And I was like, how the hell did he? I mean, I could obviously see the route that he took, but it's like nobody before he got to the end of the pier. Nobody else saw this. Like nobody.
I mean, you got to think about it. He in a car. So I mean, you got like.
But
I mean, it's
who
really...
drives on? Like the way the dynamic of that area and how it looks, it's not normal to see a car driving.
What you going like? I mean, that all of
it ain't nothing that a person can do.
A person can be on that road, like you said, on Pacific. That's what it is, Pacific or Atlantic. A person can be on that road and then get from that road to the end of that pier in like 30 seconds. Like, they really can be in a car and drive that quick. So, like,
yeah,
what are you gonna, like, how can you react And that's like, what true. Are you going to do? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it ain't a person made that decision. Do. Yeah.
That he ran because it's closed off. So he ran through the, like, the
he
gate.
He did.
Part of
yep.
It, you know
he
what
did
mean?
Run
so, like,
through the gate.
So what's the person doing? Hey, what you doing? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Jump in front of the car. Like, it's just, he made that decision. He or she. I don't know if he, I don't even know if it was a guy or a girl, but they made that decision. And I
that's
mean,
true.
Nothing you can really do about it at that point once they drive and are successful with it. I just thought that was crazy when I saw that, man. It was on the news and everything, too. I was surprised they actually put something like that on the news, to be honest with you. Like, because you actually, like, you saw somebody happen. Committing suicide.
Yeah.
You know, like, you literally saw
it. But it was a different, it was a different, like, perspective, though. Yeah. They're inside the car. You didn't really see them dying.
That's true.
You just saw the act before the death happened.
Correct.
It's a little bit different, but, yeah, I can understand, like, if it was my family, I wouldn't want that to be put out there.
Correct.
You know, but thank goodness somebody actually, you know, saw it happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Somebody recorded that with their phone.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
They just so happened to be on the beach at the time, and they were like, oh, what is this person
like, when
doing?
I stay down there, when I stay down at the oceanfront, like, you know, in the morning time when the sun's, like, rising or whatever, like, I'll sit out. Like, I got, like, a room where it's, like, facing the ocean. Like, I'll look at the, you know, the sunrise. Because it was right, like you said, it was early in the morning. It was, like, during that time where the sun rises or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
even the sunset.
Yeah.
Especially, so, like, on Chicks Beach, the sunset over there is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, I saw that. That was crazy, but I used to do it because I normally when I go down to the beach and I stay down there, I stay at North End, so I stay like around like 41st Street.
Yeah.
And so what I'll do is like in the morning, like for my exercise, like I'll go running or I'll like if I got the kids and family with me, we'll walk. And that's always been like my place, the part where I turn around at. So staying at 41st Street, going all the way down to where that pier is, that's always
on 14.
Like, yeah, that's kind of like my landmark of like, okay, hey. I ran from 41st to 14, and that's like my turnaround point to go back. You know what I mean?
Woo.
Yeah.
I remember when I lived in Miami, I used to run that sand. Boy, oh boy.
Well, I'm not running the sand. I'm talking about the, you know, running
the boardwalk.
The strip. Yeah.
I'm
not running the sand. I'm running the strip. Like, you know, where, I mean, people, that's what the people, I don't know if you've been down there in the morning times, but that's literally what people do down there.
Never.
Oh, yeah. If you ever go down there in the morning time, I mean, people, like, it's like a legitimate beach workout. Like, I know you stayed in Miami, so, I mean, I know you.
Yeah, I mean,
that.
I was so the boardwalk, same thing.
Yeah, same thing here. Yeah. I mean, people wake up in the morning, and they're out there, they're doing sand workouts, they got the whole, like, you know, pull-up, push-up sets, you know, they got all that stuff, the ropes.
Yeah.
Where people run and sprint, set up cones, do stuff,
or
whatever.
What the difference is now I live, like, 30 minutes away from the beach, as opposed to when I lived in Miami, I was like a good 10, even with parking. Like, I was close.
Yeah.
So there was no getting in, you know, nah.
Yeah.
That's just too far for me to work out. Not when my gym is like right around the corner.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Now you don't even like going that far to the gym, so let alone go to a whole nother city and then go to the oceanfront and then still look for parking.
Yeah.
To then walk to the beach? Nah. That's a workout in itself right there.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I only typically do it when
you're
I'm
already
there.
Yeah.
If I'm staying down there, I always try to still, like, you know, do a little bit of workout, try to stay consistent or just, like, get out some fresh air. So I'll do it then. But
speaking of the beach.
Yeah, I was about to say, speaking of the beach, too, the Atlantic area that they got over there, Pharrell is building up. And I seen, like, this past week, they put out some renders of, like, what it's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And that joint looked fire.
It do. I saw
it
the surf,
fire.
The surfing.
Yeah, like a surfing park where, like, you know, you can come out there with your own surfboard.
Yeah.
And it's literally 24/7, 365 throughout the year.
Yeah.
You know, you can go out there. And it's,
and
like,
it's not in the ocean.
No. Nah.
It's like it's almost like, if you ever been to Charlotte, they have the, what's that downtown area called that now it's closed down?
Oh, The epicenter.
The epicenter.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that magnitude. It's like a big area, except for it's open.
Yeah.
And they have like these two like water things where you could surf.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about, you know, going out to the ocean and it being unsafe. It's for your surfers to have fun. I would even get out there and do that type of surfing. I'm not going into the ocean.
You would go out there and surf? Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going in the ocean to surf.
Yeah.
Nah, it's too deep.
Yeah.
No,
but that, like you said, that is
I don't play with
more.
Sea animals.
Sea animals.
No, I don't like touching fish. I don't want them touching me. That's one thing that people got to remember. You respect their space.
Yeah,
they go respect ours.
Yeah, they habitat. It's free game. It's free game.
It's free game.
I never look. So for me, like growing up here, it's funny because I used to go on the beach all the time as a kid. And what stopped me from going as much? I was probably like high school age. Maybe right before, maybe like 14, 15, maybe about high school age. And I remember it was the summertime, so I had my family from North Carolina up here. And so it was a lot of us. We were deep. It was my cousins, everybody, my sister, everybody. And I got stung by a jellyfish. And man, when I tell you, again, I don't know how it is now as an adult, may not hurt that much, but when I was 14, 15 years old, when I got stung and that sensation, and it just kept, like, it just never would go away, like, that joint hurt. Like, yeah. I'll never forget it. Like, we was out there. What we used to do is, I never surfed or nothing like that, but, like, we would wait, like, when the big wave would come, we would, like, dive into the wave and let the wave kind of bring you up the shore a little bit. And so we used to do that. So anyway, what happened was, I remember I was doing that. We came up the shore and like, I looked to my left and I seen like the, you know, like a jellyfish, like the, it's going like that or whatever. So I see that joint and I saw it. I tried to move away from it. And like, it actually like, I guess I was going, trying to leave the direction of it with the direction they were, that their jellyfish was going. And that joint, like, it just barely touched me. Like, its tentacles, like, barely touched me. And I got stung. So I remember I came up, and it just, like, kept hurting. Like, it was, like, right here on my hip. Mm-mm. And it just kept, it was just a sensation. It kept hurting. I mean, we went to Golden Corral after that joint to eat.
Golden Corral.
Yeah, you know, back then, that's the buffet. You got a lot of people with you, so it was like, yo. Right. You know what I mean? It's easy.
We used everybody to go to Ponderosa.
To Ponderosa, yeah. We went there. It was like 20 of us, so we were like, hey, we go to Golden Corral. It's easy. Everybody get their own food or whatever.
I didn't learn about Golden Corral until I moved here.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So we went to Golden Corral, man. I remember, like, being in pain, like, still, like, after we had left the beach,
that's
all of
funny.
That. And I remember, like, eating. Like, I remember I went to the bathroom. I was trying to, like, figure out, like, dang, I went home, took a long shower and everything. So, like, everything.
So, what are
then,
you supposed to do after you get stung? Nothing?
I was 14. You know,
so
I told my parents.
What'd they say?
I mean.
It was like, figure it out.
Yeah, like, shake it off. Like, this is pre-internet, like, right when the internet, like, popped, you know what I mean? So, I don't know if they had experience with get stung with jellyfish.
Oh,
you know
my
what
goodness.
I mean? So, it was just one of the things where it's like, you ain't bleeding. Nothing's broke. You know what I mean? Like,
when did it go
eventually,
away?
And eventually, those. I mean, it ended up going away like that night.
Oh,
you know what
okay,
I'm saying?
Okay,
like,
okay.
But it just like, I didn't realize they was gonna last like hours after it happened. You know,
so,
that might have been my own personal experience. I mean, other people may have got stung and it hurt just that minute and that's it or whatever. But that was
so what happened to me is one time I was in Florida and I was in North Miami Beach. So just like any other beach, there's a south end, there's a north end.
Yeah.
Usually the south end is more popular than the north end, and I was in the north end. And we were out there, and it was sharks in the water, close to the bay.
Ain't no way.
And I looked, and I was sitting there, and I put my feet in the water, like, right. I'm not even in the part where you can't even see the sand no more. So, you know, you look at the dynamic of a beach and my feet were still in the sand where you can look down and you can see my feet, right?
Yeah.
I wasn't deep at all.
And there were sharks that close where you were like that?
Not as close as me, but I mean, kids was still able to stand up in the water.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I looked and then I looked again and you could see the triangle.
Yeah, the fence.
I said, oh no. I'm pretty sure I still got the video in my phone to this day. I saw that shark, me, my kids, everybody, we dipped. We did not go. I've never been back to that part of the beach ever again.
That's great. Yeah, that's great. Sharks,
and then I watched
animals where like that's like I got like a couple of animals that like I'm terrified of. Like as far as like if I'm in their presence, sharks is one of them.
Yeah. Sharks I ain't messing with. See, I ain't scared of them because I ain't never finna be in a, like, there's things that I'm scared of that I'm present. Like, I know that I would be around them and it's like, nah. I'm not scared of a shark, but I'm also not fucking with a shark. Like, there's two different levels.
See, I guess for me, it's like, I like the water. Like, I grew up, you know, here.
That's why they got swimming pools.
It's not the same. I like the natural Mother Nature water, not, you know, man-made pool water. Like, I like being
They
in the
have
ocean.
Salt water pools, though. That's what I'm saying.
But that's still not the same. It's not, the salt alone is not the same. I'm talking about, like, being in the ocean. Like, I like being in the actual ocean.
You keep messing with them fish. They're going to teach you a lesson.
What I'm telling you is that ever since that happened, when I got stung by that jellyfish, the amount of times that I have been in the water, I mean, I've still been in there a good amount of times, but it's not as much as it would have been if I wouldn't have had that experience.
Yeah,
you know
that's true. So. And then speaking of the beach, did you see that March, you know, is the official spring break time for college students? Miami Beach shut down. They said, don't bring you niggas better not come.
Oh, wow. So what happened though? Did something actually happen, or they just
so
like,
last year there was a lot of like drama that happened on the beach. I want to say that people actually got murdered on the beach. Yeah, I think if I'm not mistaken, it was like in front of the Low Hotel or something like that. Something on Ocean Drive.
Okay.
Yeah. So they shut down. They're charging $100 for parking.
Oh wow.
They're all the parking garages are closed. Mm-hmm. There's a curfew. DUI checkpoints, which those are always, they have always been in effect. But now what they're going to probably end up doing is they're going to probably have the checkpoints like right at the MacArthur Causeway, which is the bridge that's by the Port of Miami that takes you into South Beach. I'm pretty sure that they're going to have the checkpoint there. So if you're on South Beach, unless you just don't drink, 9 times out of 10, you're going to be drinking, right?
Yeah.
And so they're going to catch you right out the bat.
Oh, wow.
So I'm pretty sure that night it's going to be a lot of people in jail. But the crazy part is I saw like Jeezy's performing, Ashanti's performing. So I'm like, okay, well, if all these things are into effect, how is it that they're able to still perform?
Mm-hmm.
And if nobody really can be down there like
that.
And in the last
they're
time
they're trying to get a better handle on just
maybe
the area, you know what I mean? Like I know I've only been to Miami like a handful of times, like 2 or 3 times. And I mean, it's like the one time that I went when it was like something going on. Like I went down there for the Super Bowl one time.
That's different.
When I was getting out of college and I went in 2009. And it was Memorial Day weekend. And that's like a big thing down there. Like that, it was a lot of like it was too much going on. Like mm-hmm. I mean, it, like it was old. Like I was a young 21-year-old kid. Mm-hmm. Like that was overwhelming for me. You know what I mean? So I can only imagine. You know what I mean? How it is like on spring break weekend? It's probably very much like the same. And like it's just so much going on that it's hard to kind of keep a handle of those situations. And now you know that was 15 years ago. So mm-hmm. now how things are, people with guns and stuff. Like I mean, it's. I can understand them trying to take a step back and trying to like at least get a better handle of the situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even here, we had, I know here in Virginia Beach, we've had, it used to be called College Weekend, you know what I mean? Where they had like all the colleges mm-hmm. would come and, you know, for the weekend. And I mean, it was stuff, there was drama, people getting killed, people, you know, fighting and doing stuff. So they actually stopped that, you know what I mean? And that's when they did the whole little something in the water kind of like replace that weekend because of that. They still wanted to kind of celebrate that weekend, but they didn't want to cater to just like the college and, you know, the amount of, you know, drama and just, you know.
Yeah. So every time that I've ever went out, like, for Memorial Day weekend that I can remember, I mean, obviously I lived there, so it was a little bit different. I can go out whenever. I would try to avoid certain weekends just because unfortunately, when y'all came down for Memorial Day weekend, that was the weekend that I actually was in the house.
Yeah.
Unless I had someone there that came in town that specifically was like, hey, I want to see you. Let's hang out type of thing.
Yeah.
Then I would come out because, I'm, you know, I know where to go and stuff like that. But it was hectic. I don't miss that part at all.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Outside
Like I said, the time that I went, I mean, I was like, yo, I feel like I had like, you know how they say, you know, I be seeing people say it on Instagram and Facebook. So like this city don't owe me nothing. Like
oh,
I did, like
you
know
were
what I'm
owed
saying?
Nothing.
Like, yeah, I feel like I did everything that Miami had to offer that 5 days I was there.
The crazy
so
thing
I was
is
okay
you...
not going back because I was just like, yo, this is like I had a great time, but it was way too much. Like I mean, it was way too much.
And people do that like a lot there.
Yeah.
And then in Florida, Mercedes-Benz actually teamed up with a developer, and they're building a 67-story condo.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
okay.
That's crazy. Like, I can't imagine, like, a 67-story building. Like, I don't think that I would want to live in something. Like, I love high-rises. Do not get me wrong. You put me in a high-rise. I remember, like, when I moved to Virginia and there was no high-rises here, I remember feeling, like, uncertain. Because when I went into my unit, my parking, there was security there that monitored, you know, I had my own parking space. I would go in there. Anybody that came to my house, you had to go through concierge before you can even come up to my building. Nobody just came and knocked on my door. You know what I mean? I love that type of security, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then here, I moved here and I'm in a house and like a solicitor can just be like, you need a new roof? Like, I hated that. I remember coming here, but 67 stories, there's no way.
Yeah.
I'm not living in story in the penthouse. See, I'm not
doing it.
If there's a fire, what do you do?
Yeah, and that's what I was about to say. For me, it's just like, I think it would be cool to have one of those, but at the same time, it's like, being that, like, the thing with high-rises for me, like, I've always, like, maybe wanted, like, maybe short-term rent one for, like, a week or so, or maybe, like, a month or something like that, but, like, to have one, going up and down the elevator all the time, like, I don't know. Like, I don't have a phobia of elevators. Like, I don't have a problem with elevators and like that, but just, like, you are spending a lot of your life in an elevator. If you're living in a building that tall, like, I mean, you're up and down. You know what I'm saying?
That,
like,
is true.
So it's just like stuff like that. I mean, just I just wouldn't.
Yeah, that part I'm not so much worried about. It's more so like, I remember I lived on I was in midway of the building. I think I was on like floor 12, 13, 14, 15, something like that.
Yeah.
And I remember one night, I guess one of my neighbors, it was actually on my floor. They overcooked something, which set off all the alarms.
Yeah.
And when it's smoke or any type of fire, the elevator shut down.
Yeah.
So I had to, like, carry my child down all those flights of steps.
Yeah.
And because it was an emergency, I wasn't even thinking, because typically I parked in the parking garage, which is in the building, on floor 4 or 5. So I literally could have just got down to level four or five, got in my car, and then drove out the building. And at least I would have had somewhere to sit and chill. But I wasn't thinking, because it was an emergency. I went all the way down to the front. So now all of us, the whole building, is outside waiting for them to clear the building, the firefighters and stuff. And it was that night. It was like, I want to say it was in the winter, because it was cold that night.
Mm.
And I remember having like this sweater on, and Maya, she didn't have anything, so I took mine off, but it was like I was freezing, so we were just sitting there, like, and
yeah,
because
like,
we were
stuff like that, man.
Yeah,
like,
I don't miss,
like,
that
it's
part.
Too many, like, you're right, I understand the security part. As a guy, I mean, I'm not really worried about that, but like, it's just so many, like, you're sharing living space with so many different people, so
correct.
It's like things can happen,
and
it's just like, yo, like, I'd rather just have my house, whatever. But that's
mm-hmm.
what's up. That's dope that they got that going down there, man. It seems like a lot of people are, you know, investing some, you know, monies and things like close
into
to
real
the water,
estate.
Into real estate, man. So that's really good. I love
mm-hmm.
it. I love to hear it.
If Mercedes-Benz is investing in real estate, then that means that you need to, too.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree 100%.
You want to drive the Benz, you better buy the house.
Right. What I'm about to say. So something that conversation I had a couple of times this week that we wanted to talk about today, or I want to at least, you know, bring up, and Sophia can chime in, is just the difference of, like, a person being on the loan. So when you have, like, let's say, you know, husband, wife,
yeah.
they're buying a house, and, you know, there's a person, you know, typically in those situations, you know, both people are on the loan, right?
Yeah.
Because if both of you are on the loan, we can use both of your income. So that
mm-hmm.
just, you know, allows you to have potentially more buying power, right?
Correct.
But there are some scenarios where it may not be the best for you to have both of you on the loan, right?
Absolutely.
You know, sometimes people want to be on the loan, or they think they want to be on the loan because they want to have, like, full ownership rights to the house, right?
Yeah.
And honestly, just because you're on the loan, that doesn't necessarily mean you have full ownership rights to the house. That's just you qualifying to obtain that mortgage,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the financing of that house. I mean, it's not necessarily saying, like, hey, you know, if this other person passes away, I'm now the owner of the home. Like, no, I mean, that's not really how it is. So just, I wanted to explain, like, there's a difference between being on the mortgage note, you know, or the loan, and then also the deed of the home,
mm-hmm.
right? The deed, that's the most important part. That's the part that defines the ownership and how it's being owned, right?
Yep.
So you can have scenarios where there's a person who is, you know, buying a house. Let's say it's a husband and wife, and the husband has enough income to qualify for what they're wanting to buy. So in that situation, let's say it may be better for them to buy the house and just have it in their husband's name, maybe have the wife on title or deed or both of them, or maybe not. And that just allows you to now have buying power, more buying power when it comes to maybe that next purchase you have. Maybe you'll do it now where you have it in your wife's name, right, for the next purchase, right? So it just allows you to not have to have, you know, both of your names tied up to that one particular property, you know, financially or from a monthly or debt to income standpoint. You know, a couple things I want to share real quick before I let you jump in, Sophia, is that one thing to note, though, if you do that, when it comes to that other spouse or that other person who's not on the loan, but they're on the deed, we still will have to count property taxes and homeowner's insurance against you, because if you own the home, so if you're on the deed of the home, then that house is required to have property taxes unless you're exempt in some form or fashion. So when you come, when it comes for you to qualify to buy another home, that other person who wasn't on the loan, you have to be cognizant of, we're going to have to count, you know, whatever the property tax amount is that's paid for that home, and also the homeowner's insurance, because those are attached to the home, and you are attached to the home as far as the ownership aspect of it. So the loan part, we won't have to count against you, but the property taxes and homeowner's insurance, we will. But it still will allow you to have more buying power, and they call it like dividing and conquer. If you're like an investor, you want to buy multiple properties or whatever. So I'll let you jump in, Sophia.
I mean, you pretty much said it all.
Okay. I think you was about to say something. Did I say what you was about to say?
Yeah.
Oh, it did? Okay. That's crazy.
Yeah, so you just want to make sure that if you're the person that's not on the note or not on the mortgage, that you are aware that you're still responsible for the taxes and insurance on the house. Yep. So let me give you a good example of what I mean by that, right? If you bought a house, if you and your spouse are together, married, happy, everything's good, and you, I'm going to use the man as the person who is bringing in the source of income, and the wife does not work, right? I'm just going to use that general statement. So if the man in the relationship is on the deed or the note to the property, and the woman is not on the deed or the note to, I mean, oh my goodness, I'm having trouble trying to get through this. Okay. If the man is on the note or the mortgage and the wife is not on the note or the mortgage, but she is on the deed, then let's say they break up or they split up. The husband is still going to remain responsible for that mortgage or that note. They're going to have to either refinance, sell, do something to get the wife off the deed of the house because she still has ownership in the house. Yeah. But if husband stops paying that mortgage, the lender will come after the husband for non-payment, right? But the city and homeowners insurance, they're going to come after both of you because both of you are responsible for taxes and insurance on the property.
Yeah.
So you have to make sure that you're aware that you're just not totally like not responsible for this house. You are still responsible, just
yeah.
in a different way.
Yeah. And another thing, just kind of not the same thing, but just a different way is, and I also had this happen to me over the last couple of weeks, is like anytime, you know, you have people like, you know, getting married or, you know, couples or whatever it may be, make sure you understand when you're putting things in your name, how that impacts you depending upon, you know, your future and what things happen in your future.
Right? Oh, my goodness.
Because there's like a situation I'm going through right now with a buyer where, and it's not even like his spouse, but like he put a lot of things in his name to help his daughter. And now that's not allowing him to be able to like buy a new home, right? Because, you know,
mm-hmm.
There's rules and regulations how we can like operate around things that are in your name,
mm-hmm.
but you know, maybe, you know, let's say you bought your daughter a car, and so, hey, you got it because you have the credit and your daughter doesn't have the good credit, so you got it, so you're helping her out in that regard, but maybe she's making the payment, right? As long as we can document that payment is being made by her consistently, you know, for at least a year, then that's fine. We don't have to count that debt against you, even if it's solely in your name. But the scenario that I have, it's like the daughter's sending the dad money here and there. They're kind of like, you know, Zelling money here, Venmo here, mm-hmm. you know, like, hey, daughter, hey, you do this. You can't really track, you know, and it's not consistent. You can't really track who's paying it, even mm-hmm. though, you know, that's how they go about doing it. Well, we can't exclude that debt from the dad, right? Or mm-hmm. the person is now trying to purchase the home who took out that loan to help their daughter. So just make sure you're mindful of those things. Like, have yep. an exit plan when it comes to that. Like, I remember when I bought my very first car, right? It was a used car. It was a Mazda Protege. Never forget it, right? First vehicle I had was a 4Runner. Shout out to the 4Runner crew when I was in high school. That was a hand-me-down, something like that gave me.
Uh-huh.
But the first vehicle I actually purchased was a Mazda Protege, right? I was like, I think 19 is when I came home playing football, like 19, 20 years old. And And so what my dad did, we had a plan, right? Because I didn't really have developed credit at that time, yeah. right? So what we did was, and I think we did it through Navy Federal as well, if I'm not mistaken, but my dad put the car in his name. They had a program where I can be put as a co-signer. Mm-hmm. And then after 6 months, so after like 6 months of consistent payment, that now would show up on my record. And then my dad can now remove himself from being on the loan. And I can now be like that primary person. Right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So again, I don't know if they still have that out there or anything like that. But that's something that I'm assuming if they had it back in, 2008, I'm pretty sure they probably got something like that now. Right. But just something, having a plan where like, hey, or if it's not, if you don't have that, you know, maybe making sure that the payments are being made in a certain way where you can exit out of that situation, or like that person, you're helping them build their credit so they can, because it's going to hurt you later on when you're trying to buy a house and now we have to count all this extra debt that you're really not necessarily paying per se, but you're obligated because you agreed upon it back whenever you initially bought it.
I had a conversation with someone that I wasn't able to approve their loan, and she had about 4 or 5 charge-offs on her credit report. And when I asked her, like, what happened, like, what was the situation? And every single situation was her being a co-signer for somebody else. Mm-hmm. And anytime that you co-sign, anytime that you are legally responsible for any type of debt, if that primary person doesn't pay, you are responsible for it.
Yeah.
It doesn't just go away. The lender doesn't say, oh, well, that's okay. Like, that's not how it works.
Nah, that's the reason why you got to read that fine print when you're taking those notes and those loans out and stuff like that. I know a
absolutely.
Lot of people, they're just eager to get whatever they get, but that fine print tells you. It lets you know.
It sure does.
It really does.
It
man.
Sure
and
does.
It be jamming people up, man. It really,
and if you cannot afford it, if you're a person that's co-signing for someone, you better be able to afford that debt if they stop paying it. If you can't afford it, then don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't be a co-signer.
Yeah.
Because if something happens to them, what do you do?
Yeah.
Now it's your, you pretty much.
Yeah, you got to pay it yourself. You know?
You don't have a choice.
Even if you're not benefiting from it. Because that happens all the time. I see people, like you said, to help somebody, you know, car note, and then they break up, and then they just let the car note go to, you know, whatever, because they can't pay for it themselves. Or they're not even driving. Let's say the other person who broke up, who's not on the loan, they now drive in the car, but they don't want to talk to that person no more. So they're not paying it, you know, themselves or whatever, because they're not together no more.
Let me tell you how deep this goes, right? When it comes to making sure that you are responsible for whatever you're signing yourself up for, right? My mom passed away. And when she passed, she left her car to me. Why? I have no clue. And like I said earlier, I lived in a high rise in Miami. There was no need for me to have a second car. I didn't have a parking space for it. And I wasn't about to pay an extra fee, like $200 a month, for a parking space for a car that I wasn't going to drive, right?
Yeah.
So when she left it to me, I was like, well, I don't really need this car. I'm just going to go ahead and give it to my my half-sister, right? So I gave it to her. But in the state of Missouri where my mother passed, they have it where your title, there's a beneficiary on the title. So once the death is reported to the state, then the beneficiary is automatically the owner. Mm-hmm. So I automatically became the owner once her death was reported to the state. And her death was reported to the state from the funeral home, right? So the license plate, although it was in my mom's name because I was the beneficiary on the vehicle, now I'm the owner. So I'm responsible for anything that happens to this particular vehicle, right? So when I gave the car to my sister, I was like, look, you can have it. I will gift it to you because on the title you can gift, you know, certain assets or whatever. I said, but you have to go and you have to get everything switched over to your name. I took the license plate off of the vehicle
to make sure that happened.
To make sure that this car wasn't driven, because if it was driven, I would have reported that thing stolen and said, nope, I did not give permission. I took the plate off. These are the measures that I took to make sure that this car wasn't driven. And the moment that she was able to register the car in her name, at that point, she was able to drive it however she felt. But then she became responsible for it, because what happens is, because that vehicle was in my name, if I give you the opportunity to drive it and you get into a car crash and somebody dies, yeah, you're the person who did it. You're going to go to jail for the crime. But when it comes time to sue, who they going after?
Yeah, the owner of the vehicle.
owner of the vehicle. 100%. So you always have to make sure that you're aware of what you're putting yourself into. You have to think outside that moment.
That's correct.
Think long term.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big fact. Dropping jewels. Look at that. Boom. With a clue bomb on that one.
Yeah, that's you do.
Yeah, so speaking of like that, I guess you could say in a different way, love is blind.
Oh.
Love is blind.
That was a huge pivot.
Yeah. Love is blind. So obviously this past week was the marriage, like they, you know, went to the altar and made the decision they wanted to stay together or get a divorce. I remember last week we closed the podcast by making our predictions.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
How did that go? How did that turn out?
You were right.
I was.
You were. About AD.
Hold on. What'd you say? I didn't hear what you said. I was right. I was right. Not left. I was right.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You were right.
Three, baby.
About AD and Clay. You were absolutely right. I think we had the same predictions about
everybody else.
Yeah.
But that was the only one that we differed. And I feel like when I gave my explanation of why I was 100%.
Yeah, you were. Solid. Yeah, like, you were dead on.
And I think sometimes it's funny because like men. Like, I was even having this conversation with Brooke, like, you know, that's why I feel like, you know, men and women are made, you know, to be together, right? The yin and the yang. And it's like, there's things that a woman thinks about and what they bring to the table, and there's things that a man thinks about and what they bring to the table. And that's why when it's perfect harmony, when it's matched, it's the greatest thing that God can create.
Right.
But it's like, from a man's perspective, I kind of understand looking at other men and seeing how they're doing things, like, you can kind of look at it. I can understand, like, okay, hey, I knew he wasn't ready. Like,
yeah.
You know, he wasn't, like, he wanted to be ready. He was putting himself in all the positions that he felt that, you know, looked like he was ready and made him present himself to be ready. But at his core, he has a lot of things that he's battling, man. And he didn't want to make a mockery of marriage. He didn't want to mess up. And so I feel like he made that known throughout the season. And so if he wasn't 100% certain he was ready to be with this woman for the rest of his life, he wasn't going to say yeah at the altar.
So let me tell you, as I was watching the episode, right, because that was the very first one, so I was like, yes, I'm glad that they got this one out the way, you know?
Yep.
So as they were going through the episode, the first indicator when I was watching, I had all the faith in the world. I was like, yeah, he going to ask her. The first red flag I saw was that moment when they had the husband to be or something like that on the sweatshirt.
Yeah.
And it was the way he looked at that sweatshirt. I was like, nah, he just didn't. He wasn't like, and I don't know, maybe it's just me because I'm a woman, but the way he looked at that sweatshirt was like, she ain't not me.
Right?
He was like, yeah. And even though Johnny didn't wear the sweatshirt as well.
Yeah.
He wasn't, I don't know, it was just the look. I can't even explain. You're going to have to go back, rewind, go to that part. It was the look on his face that just gave it away, right?
Yeah.
And then the second red flag was when they were at the gate before he walked out. So, you know, when you get married, the man is the first one to walk out. So him and his mom was having a conversation.
Yeah.
And she was like, just go with your heart. Mm-hmm. She knew. She knew that he was about 100%. To. Yeah.
She know what's right.
And the way she was talking, I was like, shit, I lost this damn prediction. I was like, oh, nope.
Yeah.
Nah. Yeah. And I saw a line where, and I could be wrong, and this person could be wrong too. This is not my thing, but where they were like, Clay was just advertising his companies. He knew he wasn't going to marry that girl because he could have told her he didn't want to get married. From the very beginning.
I think, like I said, I don't think that at all. I feel like I've seen this show. I've watched every season. There are people up there. I feel like they're just up there to try to, like, be popular.
I think a lot of this, people in this particular season were there not for love.
Oh, for real? That's how you feel?
Oh, yeah. I think that Johnny and what, Amy? Is that her name? What's her name?
I can't remember.
Johnny and...
The only couple that end up getting married.
The only couple that got married... Yeah. I think that they were there for the right reasons. But I feel like Jess. Jess was there for the right reason. Is it Jess that was originally liking Jimmy with the kid?
Yeah.
Okay. I think she was there for the right reason. But everybody else that was there, They knew they were broken. Jimmy knew he didn't want to.
What I'm gonna say, Sophia.
Jeremy knew he wasn't there.
I don't necessarily agree with that. What I feel like sometimes, man, is that and like I said, this is just a different opinion, right?
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes people don't know. Like, people feel like, maybe because they're at age, they're 30, 33, you know, they want to get married, they want that companionship, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, so they feel like they're ready, right? Maybe they're setting their career, they're making the money, whatever it may be. But, like, when it comes to actually what a relationship, and not even a relationship, a marriage consists of, mm-hmm. the commitment, the level that's involved in that,
yep.
like, sometimes you don't really understand or know that until it's presented to you. Like,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Like, you can feel so...
That's
I don't
true.
Feel like, I don't feel like sometimes, like, I don't feel like the people were like, you know, they were 100% like, hey, I'm a single bachelor. I'm just trying to get on the show type of thing. Like, I mean, again, some people, whatever, but I feel like the majority of them folks that was really trying to find love and trying to find that person. And once that person or like they were put in that situation, they really not ready. Like, you know what I mean? They may have thought they was ready, but they really not ready. And for me, like a person who's married and who actually like had to look myself in the mirror and like, yo, I'm ready for that next level of commitment. Like, I feel like it's almost like when you've done that before, you can see if other people are on that same type of time. You know what I mean? I feel like, you know, some of them were, but the dude, again, going back to what we had talked about, man, the dude Clay, like, just the dynamic of him and his dad and his mom, and it's like, yo, like, that dude really got, I feel bad, man, because it's like, he got some really deep core stuff that's like, he's trying to battle, you know, and a lot of it's his father's doing, you know what I mean? And it's tough because obviously it seems like his father, you know, did well as far as raising him and his brothers and all that. But as far as being a husband, you know, and that example that he set for his son, how he treated his mother, like, that's important. I mean, that's just as important as far as spending quality time with your child and all of that. Like, all of that stuff is like one, you know what I mean? So it was tough, man. It broke my heart to kind of see that, you know, see that. And then also, like, you know, the whole situation, like, you know, AD and like how she felt about it. And, you know, like, he, you know, it was tough. Man. It was tough.
How do you feel about that look when she turned around? She was like, you ready to go?
Yeah. Yeah. That was, she was embarrassed. I mean, that's just what it comes down to. Like, she was at the altar. She really probably thought he was going to say, yeah. And in that moment, when you're embarrassed, you try to deflect. Like, you immediately try to, like, boom, push it away, turn it to something else. You know, I've been there before. You know, I mean, I haven't been at that position, but you know what I mean? Like, I've been embarrassed where it's like, hey, I'm immediately trying to get the spotlight off of me. I'm trying to deflect
yeah.
it. So that's what happened in that scenario. Like, she was embarrassed, as anybody else would be in that scenario or that situation.
The looks on her friend's face.
Man. One of the girls was like, she was like slumped, like slapped down like this. Like.
One girl was like this.
Yeah, like she.
I told you.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You know, so it was just tough, man. Like, that was... Again, that season or that couple alone, man, like it just was like, dang, because I really feel like they could be together. Like, I feel like they had the makings of it, but I just feel like one person was ready and one person wasn't. And I wish that they would have been able to continue just to date, you know, and kind of maybe she could have helped him get to that particular point. But in her mind, she was like, he didn't choose me. And I don't think it was like he didn't necessarily choose her. It was just the simple fact that he's just not ready yet. You know what I mean? And sometimes, you know, I mean, you see it all the time, you know, out here when people are like dating and one person may be ready to get married, the other person's not, but you kind of work through that. Maybe it takes some more time for that person to get to that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what it was for him. And I know the whole show is you're supposed to make that decision right then and there, but I feel like they could have still maybe like dated a little bit more and like worked through some of his, you know, issues that he has. And I think honestly, her being there with him while he's working through those, I think that would have like made it even better for their future. But again, that's my two cents.
Well, I've seen a video online of them, like, hanging out, and it's predicted that that's, like, after the filming of the show, so.
Yeah, they have the reunion, I think, is next week, so I'm definitely going to tune in to check out and see kind of how things are going. I don't know the timestamps of when the reunion is and all that. I don't know if that's, like, live or, like, you know, last week or months ago. Like, I don't know, but, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens, man. We'll see. I definitely feel like the couple that got married, Johnny, and I can't think of her name. I mean, they look like...
I think it's Amy and Amber who got to the season finale. They both were A-names for sure.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah,
so, yeah I think they're going to be straight, and I'm excited to see what happens with them.
Yeah.
I feel like every season... is
Her dad was so sweet.
Pops was amazing.
Yeah.
I was sitting there thinking, like, even when he was talking, he was crying, I was like, man, like, it flashed me to, like, the future, like, when my daughter's going to, like, get married. I even seen, like, when he was walking with his daughter... and the dude Johnny was at the altar already, and like how he got his first look at his bride, and like the pops was like, you know, getting choked up, and I was like, man, that's gonna hurt. I ain't gonna lie to you, that joint's going. I got a younger sister. It's like I'm not even ready for her to be at that point. So let alone my daughter. Like even though my daughter's young, I know it's like a long time.
Hey, your sister, bro.
Yeah, my sister 30. Yeah, she's grown. So yeah.
That is hilarious.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean that was in a nutshell. I mean,
yeah, I'm excited about next week and watching reunion. I'm ready to see what the principal has to say about himself.
Oh yeah.
I'm so ready to hear what he has to say. And from what I heard, he was on another dating show prior to this one.
Gotcha. Now what I saw he was actually on, I think it was Kelly Clarkson's show. It was one of them daytime sit down shows where they sit there and talk like how Ellen was and all that. Like he was on there because he was the youngest principal. I don't know if it's like youngest African American principal or youngest like principal ever,
I think,
something.
Ever. Because he's 25 years old and he's a principal. Yeah. Me and my best friend was talking about that and was like, well, I thought that you had to have a certain number of years as a teacher before you could become a principal. That's what I have you ever seen a young principal before? I feel like all my principals when I was coming up in school was old. Yeah. Not older. Old.
Yeah. All my principals were older. I mean, they were at least in the 30s for sure. Like, I mean, like, even I guess when I was like in high school, like upper level school, I think he's a principal of like a elementary school, if I'm mistaken. So like lower level schools, I've seen principals be like, and they're like, basically like the age that I am now, like in the mid to late 30s. But I've seen like, as far as like high school, like, you know, level, I mean, most of them, like you said, like for what I saw, they were like much older.
All right, guys. Well, you can follow us on social media. My social media is KB_mortgage on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah. And mine is Brian, BRYAN_Royster. And like I said, I'm on Facebook and Instagram as well.
So all right, guys. We will see you next week.
See you next week.